working through the Beatitudes, let's look at today's. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, and let's say this together, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." God always blesses the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Lead us again, fill us, shape us, minister to us this morning. Father, we love you. Jesus, you are our great high priest, the true high priest of this worship service. Shape our worship now. It is through you, before the Father and the Spirit. Lead us, our liturgos, our true liturgist, Lord, Savior, Judge, King. We praise you. We worship through you today. And all God's people said, amen. Last spring, I made a great discovery. It was in the Skagit Valley. I love the Skagit. That's where I go up, and I just get out, and you get over that crest, I-5, and you just go, just opens out, you know, just opens out and stretches out. What a beautiful place we live. Well, last spring, I had my parents here, and we're going to be back here in about a month, which is very exciting. They're 85 and 86, so we're really excited to have mom and dad back. But I took them last spring up to the Tulip Festival up in the Skagit Valley, and on our way, we came across a place called Snow Goose Produce. I love that place. You know the place. Wonderful fruits and vegetables and baked goods and ice cream and sorbet and honey. I discovered at Snow Goose Produce what is probably the best honey I've ever had. Except besides my wife. Anyway. That just came to me. I love Jill. Anyway. But this is Anna's wildflower honey, Anna's clover honey. It is so good. Harvested in the Pacific Northwest, it says on the jar, 100% pure. Now, I have a theory about my experience with this honey last spring. I started partaking of it with a little toast, you know, put some toast on it, maybe get a little crazy, get some toast and peanut butter and honey and really have a good time there. Well, it was around the time of my allergies, and I'll tell you, I started eating this honey, and my allergies weren't as bad last spring. So maybe, just maybe, having local honey helped alleviate my allergies. I got to Google that. I'm not sure if that's true, but my allergies did better. And I'm sure the honey did some good. They call that a superfood, right? And the fact that it's 100% pure probably helps. When you partake of something that pure, it's just a good thing, right? You know, sometimes with honey and other stuff, they add ingredients to just increase the volume in the jar, right? more, you know, high fructose corn syrup or something, right? Just to make more honey. But not anise. Anise is 100% pure. And you can tell the taste. It's a cut above. Purity matters with honey and everything. Our Lord lifts up purity too in our text today. Blessed are the pure in heart. The Greek here for heart is cardia. It's where we get cardiology. Cardia can mean center, or it can mean just interior. The Greek for pure here is katharoi, which means free of dirt, clean, spotless. While there's certainly an emphasis on internal morality in the Gospel of Matthew, and that is part of what's meant here, there is also scholarly consensus here that what pure in heart means is not just the absence of impure thoughts, like, you know, getting rid of lust or whatever. I mean, that's part of the mix, but purity here goes deeper. Multiple scholars point out purity is not merely about sin avoidance. Purity is about having a heart purely devoted to God. As different scholars describe it, a heart free from the tyranny of a divided self. A heart with an undivided loyalty, whose inward nature corresponds with our outward profession. And rather than the functional polytheism of parceling oneself out to a number of loyalties. D.A. Carson, R.T. France, and M. Eugene Boring, very helpful there. It's like pure honey, no additives, pure devotion, no distraction. Pure honey tastes so sweet. Pure devotion to God tastes and sees that the Lord is good. That's the promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But let's face it, we have a problem. Because the Bible itself is not optimistic about our purity. Years after Jesus taught this beatitude about purity, Paul the Apostle declared in Romans 3 that we are anything but. He writes, Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin, as it is written, and here he quotes a psalm, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. We have a problem with purity. We live chronically disloyal to God. That is what St. Paul is describing here in a devastating way. This is our history from the story of Adam and Eve, the life of Old Testament Israel, beginning with Father Abraham, through their escape from Egypt by God's mighty hand, and even long after that, they were disloyal, divided, they failed again and again, all through all these kings that were a very mixed bag, from King David all the way through, God sending prophets to warn them about their impurity and the consequences. And then fast forward to Jesus himself coming and drawing together a group of disciples. And they too struggled to be loyal right to the end. Rather than Anna's pure honey, our hearts, well, it's like if we took a jar of Anna's beautiful honey and just dumped some pepper in there, some salt, squirted some ketchup in there, some high fructose corn syrup in there, mix it into Annie's honey. Boy, you'd get a yucky mess, wouldn't you? Unrecognizable in sight, let alone in taste. Ugh. That's our situation. That's our sit rep. Jesus pronounces purity of the heart as blessed. Jesus announces purity of the heart as a way to literally view God. But if we don't have it, how do we get it? How do we get the blessing? Theologian George Hunsinger, whom Jill and I both had the privilege of studying under at Princeton Seminary, writes this about this beatitude in his book on the Beatitudes. George writes, "Only Jesus is truly pure in heart. In one way or another, all others are disfigured by sin. In sharp contrast to the rest of humankind, we can say, only Jesus truly loved God the Father with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind. Only he loved his neighbor with the same purity as he loved God the Father and himself. Only Jesus, without exception, never returned evil for evil, but overcame evil with good. Only Jesus trusted in God the Father in all his afflictions without a trace of bitterness or resentment. Only Jesus was never duplicitous, but always spoke the truth in love. Only Jesus never used another person to his own advantage, merely as a means to an end, but always treated others, not least the lowly and the marginalized, as ends to themselves. Only Jesus did the will of God perfectly, as he was sent and commissioned to do, proclaiming the hope of God's kingdom and dying that others might live. Only Jesus presented his whole life to God as a living sacrifice. Only Jesus met every temptation without being overwhelmed, as he was tempted as we are and yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. No one but Jesus has ever lived a sinless life of love, devotion, and gratitude that God intended for all humankind. No one but Jesus will ever be so fully human by possessing such a purity of heart. We hear those words from George Hunsinger, and it reminds us, it declares, that it turns out that true purity is a person. It's the person of Jesus. It's not an abstract idea, concept that we look to, or a set of rules that we aspire to, or just a path to self-betterment. Purity is a person. But we have a problem. How do we get it or get him? Confession of our sins is central here. Think of taking a look at the honey jar and seeing all the impurities in them floating around, marring that golden, beautiful look, amber gold honey. Think of all the specks and dirt and messiness that mar that beautiful sight, ruin the taste. And then think of King David's confession after he did the horrible thing, committing adultery, having a man killed, and he confesses, he names that, and he calls out to God, "Create in me a pure heart, O God." Think of it. If Anna's honey was really contaminated, like we described, full of specks of whatever ruinous substances, imagine trying to strain that honey out on your own. It would take a while, a long while. What would that be like? Even trying to do it once. But then imagine trying to strain that honey out again and again and again and again. Here's the good news. The gospel good news is that purity, the purity that Jesus blesses, is not a DIY project. We already get that point in the Old Testament with what I just read. Scholar M.J. Wilkins points this out. While the people of the Old Testament knew clearly that the human heart was evil, they knew equally well that God's work in an evil heart could bring purification and a new motivation for following him. Remember David's prayer that I just prayed. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." When Paul, the apostle, who came back from his own evil impurity through Christ, when he writes, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation, this is an ultimate answer to David's prayer through Jesus Christ. Not just the old honey put through a strainer, but totally new honey. We avail ourselves to the purity of Jesus when we profess faith in him, when we pray to him, and through him to the Father and the Spirit. We avail ourselves to the purity of Jesus when we study Scripture to meet him and understand him, when we worship him and through him worship the Father and the Spirit. We avail ourselves to the purifying honey of Jesus when we live in community with our fellow disciples to meet him there again and again and again. We avail ourselves to the purifying presence of Jesus when we serve the world in his name and meet him out there again and again and again. And yes, all along the way, we confess and we're honest about our specks and our dirt and our contaminants that get in there constantly. Sometimes this means confessing we don't feel like being pure today, but we obey anyway. There is something about the actions, the moving, not actions that earn God's love. You are loved. You and I are loved in our own impure, sinful mess. That's the core of the gospel. We are loved anyway. But as people who are loved anyway, when we move in Christ's way, his Spirit brings that purity in us. You may not want to go chat with that person, and give them another chance, but you do it anyway. And let the Lord purify your heart as you obey. Not before, as you obey. Right? You may not feel like giving and being generous in whatever way, time, talent, treasure, but you do it anyway, and you let the Lord purify your heart as you obey. You may not want to blank, fill it in following Jesus, but you do it anyway, and let the Lord purify your heart as you obey. Obedience to the Lord is a way of participating, not a way of earning his presence, earning his love. It's a way of receiving his presence and his love as we move into the world. It's a way of receiving his purity. Feel like it or not, when we move with Jesus, we move in Jesus, and in the Spirit, God renovates us, pours his honey into our hearts, renovating our hearts in purity, and we see God. Purity is a person. Purity is a process. Purity is about being proactive. Purity is Jesus. Purity is a process that takes time. Purity is about being proactive to obey and let Jesus purify us so that that old phrase, fake it till you make it, that's a little bit, maybe a little bit simple, but there's something to it, right? You move in obedience before you feel like being obedient, and the Lord works in that and moves in that, purifies our hearts. Snow Goose Produce is now closed. It closed last Sunday. Bummer, no more honey. I got 3 jars. But when they run out, I'm gonna have to wait till next spring for Anna's honey, unless I can get it somewhere else, but stay tuned. But the God revealed in Jesus Christ has a sweetness, has a purity that is available 24/7 while we wake, while we sleep, while we eat, while we walk. Jesus promises that a life lived in faith in him and with him, that he will give us that clean heart and purify us, and we will be blessed, and we will see God. May it be so for you and for me. Blessed are the pure in spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen.